Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and on today's program, we're focusing on diabetes prevention, management, and the support available right here in our community at Van Deest Medical Center. Before we get started into our program, I do have a few announcements to share. The first couple being some exciting news to share about some awards that we have recently won. Very proud to share that Van Deest Medical Center has been awarded a Top Workplace 2026 honor in the category of Top Workplaces for Frontline Workers. This recognition means a great deal because it is based entirely on employee feedback. The survey, which is conducted by an outside company, Intergage, measures key aspects of the employee experience, such as feeling respected and supported, having opportunities to grow, and being empowered to do their best work every day. The results reflect employee voices and experiences, as well as their commitment to one another and to the patients and communities we serve. Nationwide, only 69 organizations with 150 to 499 employees were recognized for this award. This award recognizes the compassion shown at the bedside, the teamwork across departments, and the meaningful difference our staff make in the lives of patients and families throughout Hamilton County and beyond. So congratulations to Van Deest Medical Center. And secondly, I am pleased to announce that the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives has announced the results of the highly anticipated Digital Health Most Wired Survey for the 2025 data collection period. Van Deest Medical Center is proud to announce its Level 8 achievement for the acute and ambulatory survey selection. Among the more than 50,000 facilities represented, Van Deest Medical Center distinguished itself by ranking above peers in key focus areas, including clinical quality and safety, analytics and data management, cybersecurity, population health, infrastructure, patient engagement and innovation. The survey evaluates the adoption maturity, outcomes, and value of technology integration across healthcare organizations at all stages of digital maturity, from early phase digitization to advanced transformation. Our team at Van Deest Medical Center is dedicated to delivering an exceptional IT platform for our end users. They strive to provide excellent customer service, which in turn helps ensure our patients receive seamless care throughout our organization. Again, a congratulations to Van Deest Medical Center for this award. And then I do have a couple of announcements to share about new specialists that are joining our hospital, and I have shared previously. We are excited to welcome Dr. Rud Raputna, an oncology hematology physician with McFarland Clinic, to our team of visiting specialists at Van Deest Medical Center. Dr. Rud Raputna brings extensive expertise in treating a wide range of diseases and disorders, including breast, colon, rectal, lung, and prostate cancers, lymphoma, urological and gynecological cancers, head and neck cancers, blood diseases, and disorders. Dr. Rud Raputna will see patients in our specialty clinic on the fourth Thursday morning of each month. Due to the upcoming holidays following on Thursdays, his first clinic date here will be tomorrow, November 20th, and he will be back in December on December 11th. After the first of the year, he will resume his regular schedule with the fourth Thursday morning of each month. And then lastly, I want to share, we are very thrilled to welcome Dr. Sama Setty to our team in the surgery department at Van Deest Medical Center. Dr. Sama Setty is a general orthopedic surgeon with over 25 years of clinical experience, having worked in a variety of practice settings. His expertise and dedication to patient care will be a tremendous asset to our communities. As a general orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Somacetti treats hips, knees, hands, shoulders, doing both joint replacement and arthroscopic surgeries. We're excited for the knowledge and experience Dr. Somacetti brings, and we look forward to officially welcoming him to our hospital in January. And with that, we are ready to start into our program. As I mentioned, we are going to focus on diabetes prevention, management, and the support available right here in our hospital. The month of November is National Diabetes Month, and I'm very pleased to be joined by two wonderful guests. We have Christy Zweifel, who is a registered dietitian, and Amy McCullough, registered nurse, both who oversee our diabetic education program at Van Deese Medical Center. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much. Let's just start with talking about the Awareness Month, National Diabetes Month. What is it all about?
National Diabetes Month is recognized every November as a time to draw attention to diabetes and the way to prevent and manage it. It helps raise awareness of risks, symptoms, and support systems available for individuals and families.
We hear a lot about diabetes. We know that it is common. Talk a little bit about how common it is today.
Well, Lori, it's extremely common. Over 38 million Americans have diabetes, and many don't even realize they have it. That's why education and screening are so important. Early detection can prevent long-term complications.
Thanks, Amy. It's a great time to be talking about diabetes. We have different types of diabetes. Let's talk about the difference between them.
Yeah, sure we can. Type 1 is an autoimmune condition where the body doesn't produce insulin. Type 2 is the most common and develops when the body becomes resistant to insulin or doesn't use it effectively. There's also gestational diabetes, which does occur during pregnancy.
And you had mentioned that some people don't even realize they have diabetes. If there would be some early warning signs, what are those? What should people be watching for?
Yeah, there's some common signs, including like increased thirst, frequency with urination, fatigue, blurred vision, slow healing of wounds, and unexpected weight changes. Also, sometimes tingling or pain or numbness in your hands or feet. But some people have no symptoms at all, which is why it's really important to have regular checkups.
Very good. So true. Oh, let's talk about prevention and lifestyle. And I think this is a big topic to discuss. For listeners who may be wondering what they can do to lower their risk of diabetes, what lifestyle changes make the biggest difference?
Healthy eating and physical activity go a long way. You don't have to overhaul your whole life. Just making small changes really helps. Things like balancing carbohydrates, eating more fiber, choosing leaner proteins, and adding about 20 to 30 minutes of movement most days can really reduce risk significantly.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Christy. Uh-huh. So those individuals who already have diabetes, are these changes still effective?
Absolutely, Lori. Even modest improvements in diet and activity can lower blood sugar levels and reduce the likelihood of complications. It's never too early or too late to start making healthier choices.
Let's dive into that a little bit more, talking about diet and nutrition. How much fiber are we talking, and what are good sources of fiber?
Yeah, 90% of Americans actually don't get enough fiber. So, you know, when we think of fiber, we think of keeping us regular, but there's lots of other positive things to fiber. Helps make us feel more full, helps stabilize your blood sugar levels, it improves your heart health, helps with weight loss and maintaining that weight loss. So the recommendations are about 25 to 38 grams a day. And of course, the lower end of that scale is going to be more for women, and then the higher end is for men. But there's a lot of things that depends on your calorie requirements, your activity level, your age, and such. But that's a good range, 25 to 38 grams.
And how about some good sources of fiber?
Yeah. Just eating whole grain breads and cereals. Look for choices that say 100% whole wheat, rye, oats, bran, in the first or second ingredient on the label. Having brown or wild rice instead of white rice or potatoes. Enjoying a variety of grains like barley, oats, quinoa. You know, when you're baking, try to use whole wheat flour, or use maybe substitute some of it, some of the white flour or all-purpose flour for wheat. Using dried beans or peas and casseroles and soups. Of course, eating more fruits and vegetables. We're always trying to get people to do that, more of that. And also try to eat the fruits and vegetables with the peels or the skins, because that's where a lot of the fiber is found. Choosing fresh fruit instead of juice. And then drinking at least 8 cups of fluids per day, because if you don't eat enough fluids and you have a lot of fiber, then that's not good. That fluid really helps your body process the fiber without discomfort.
So true. So if we're talking about healthy carbohydrates, what should people look for, and what are some that they should stay away from?
Okay. Well, all the whole grains that we talked about before, like I mentioned before, those are good carbohydrates, but also dairy products like fat-free or non-fat milk, yogurt, fruit, starchy vegetables, in appropriate portion sizes, of course. You know, a lot of people, when they get that diagnosis of diabetes, they think they need to avoid those things because they have carbohydrates in them. But it's really about balance and portion size. I use food models in our classes to show portion sizes. The thing we really need to watch out for is the added sugar. So I'm trying to limit that the best we can. And added sugar is like white sugar, brown sugar, honey, molasses, pancake syrup. Those are all examples of added sugar. And the recommendation from the American Heart Association is that about 25 grams per day for women and about 36 grams a day for men. And then the dietary guidelines for Americans, they recommend less than 10% of the calories coming from added sugar. So a 2,000 calorie diet, that would be about 200 calories or 50 grams of added sugar a day.
And you probably go through this in your classes when you're meeting with patients about what to look for on a food label, and how to read, know what you're looking for, maybe trying to make the best selection between two items, and what kind of stands out and might be the better choice.
Right. Yes, there's a lot to look at on a food label, that's for sure. The first class, we really focus more on total carbs, also looking at added sugar, of course. And then the third class, we talk a little bit more about heart health. So we'll talk a little bit more about looking at sodium and fat. So, yes, there's a lot. And, of course, portion size.
Yeah, there's so much to it.
Yes.
And it's so interesting. And I don't want to forget protein. We hear a lot about the importance of protein. So how many grams of protein per day is recommended for men and women? And what does that look like for, say, a portion size?
Yeah. The recommended daily allowance for protein for most adults is about 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight. So that's the minimum amount needed to prevent deficiency. So that's actually not very much. Actual needs can vary based on lots of factors like your age, your muscle mass, your activity level. So an example would be like a 150-pound person. That would equal 68 kilograms because you take the weight, multiply that by 2.2, and then that gives you your kilograms. So that's 68 times 0.8, that would equal about 55 grams of protein a day. But again, that's the bare bones minimum. So some people need more protein for reasons like pregnancy or lactation, somebody that's more physically active, athletes, somebody that's trying to heal a wound, or maybe they have a diagnosis where they need extra protein for that. And older adults, they need actually a little bit more protein. 1 to 1.2 grams per kilogram is what we figure for them, because as we get older, we're losing those muscle stores, so we need to kind of replenish that. So people that are active, 1.2 to 1.5 is a good factor to use. So, and then that's also based on your actual weight. But if you're overweight or obese, then you might have to use adjustable body weight for that instead of the actual weight in kilograms. And then protein is utilized better if we spread it out throughout the day too. So that's why we kind of promote people to have some at breakfast, lunch, and supper. So
perfect. Let's now talk about our diabetes education program at Van Deese Medical Center. You both helped to oversee and direct that program. Let's talk about it.
So our program helps individuals understand their diagnosis and gives them practical tools to manage diabetes day to day. We cover medication management, glucose monitoring, healthy coping, and long-term care.
Very good. And we touched on this a little bit. How does nutrition fit into the program?
Yeah, we teach people how food affects their blood sugars and how to build balanced meals. We focused on real-world strategies, reading nutrition labels like we mentioned before, meal planning, portion sizes, and even grocery shopping tips. It's all about empowering people to make confident choices.
Christy, what does a meal plan look like for those with diabetes?
At the first session, I have the patients go home with a food and activity record. They complete that at home and bring it back to me at the second session, and then we look at that, what their normal eating pattern is, and then I'll give tips on how to improve their eating pattern. I also provide them with handouts that give them specific meal and snack ideas so they can use some of those at home.
Very good. And I know you have shared some delicious recipes on the show over the years, so I know you're probably giving them some great information and some good recipes to make at home, too.
Yeah.
So is the program, the Diabetes Education Program, for only newly diagnosed patients, or what does that look like?
No, not at all. We support anyone with diabetes, newly diagnosed, managing it for years, or even just at high risk. We tailor education to each person's needs.
Very good. So when a patient gets enrolled in the program here, what can they expect?
They can expect individualized guidance and group classes. We offer one-on-one appointments, hands-on learning, goal setting, and continued support. Many patients appreciate having a team they can call on with questions.
Oh, for sure. So do people need a referral for the program?
Yes, in most cases, yes. A primary care provider or a specialist can refer patients, especially if insurance coverage is involved. But anyone interested can just call us directly and we'll walk them through that process.
Very good. We will share the phone number. We'll share it now. You'll hear it a couple times in our program. But if someone does want to get a hold of the Diabetes Education Program, the number to call is 515-832-7730. So let's talk about some of the success stories that the two of you have witnessed working with the program. What kind of progress do you see from those who have been participants?
We see patients lowering their A1Cs, losing weight, increasing energy, and feeling more in control. Many tell us that they wish they'd joined sooner.
We also see emotional transformation. Diabetes can be overwhelming, but once people understand it, they regain confidence and they feel empowered.
Definitely, and I do think the support from even group classes has got to be very helpful, especially with those individuals who are newly diagnosed. The surprise alone, I'm sure, takes them back a little bit, but then realizing they're not the only ones in this situation and working through some of the challenges that come up with others who are experiencing at the same time has got to be helpful. So how can listeners get more information or sign up for our diabetes education program?
So they can call the hospital's diabetes education office at 515-832-7730 or visit our website at vandeestmc.org. We're happy to answer questions and help people get started.
Perfect. Any additional information for our listeners about National Diabetes Month?
Well, yes, actually, it is National Diabetes Month, but we're also celebrating something else. The program, the curriculum that we use is through the American Diabetes Association, and they're actually celebrating 85 years of making a difference. So since 1940, the American Diabetes Association has been a resilient force for progress associated with educating and funding groundbreaking research when it comes to diabetes. Back in 1949, it was the first ADA camp that opened up for kids. So ADA camps now serve nearly 3,300 children and families each year. And I actually, part of my internship when I was going through school, I actually worked at one of those camps. It was kind of interesting. So.
Oh, I'm sure. How fun.
Yeah, yeah. 1950, the Diabetes Exchange System was released, making it easier to plan meals, which, you know, I remember hearing about that. And then 1952, ADA research program was founded. It's now put hundreds of millions of dollars towards studies. And 1963, the first wearable insulin pump was invented. And I thought, geez, I didn't know they were that old, I guess. Mm-hmm. Back in 1963, they even had pumps back then. 1977, the first A1C test was developed. 1982, synthetic insulin became available to expand the supply of insulin to patients. So I'm sure that was a very helpful time. And then 1984, evidence-based national standards for diabetes, self-management education support was published, and that's basically the program we teach now. So 1996, the ADA launched diabetes.org. 2002, the U.S. Diabetes Prevention Program trial showed that adults at risk for type 2 diabetes can lower their risk by losing weight, following a healthy eating plan, and being physically active, which we promote mm-hmm. still today. 2006, there was more studies done, and they showed that tight control of the glucose management really helps people with diabetes live longer, healthier lives. And that's ultimately what our goal is in teaching these classes, is to improve the patient's health. In 2010, the U.S. government and CDC created the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And many programs were started by the ADA in years 2012 to 2024. The Power Up program, which is now called the Project Power, Pathway to Stop Diabetes program, Make Insulin Affordable campaign, No Diabetes by Heart by the American Heart Association, Focus on Diabetes, Amputation Prevention Alliance, and the Obesity Association. And in 2023, Medicare did put a cap on insulin for $35 a month, which was very helpful for a lot of patients. And this, of course, was one of the reasons is because the ADA did a lot of advocacy.
Very good. Well, very impressive to hear the progress that has developed over the years, especially focusing on diabetes mm-hmm. and what's still being utilized today, say in our program right here at Van Deest Medical Center.
Right.
And we do have some exciting news about mm-hmm. our diabetes education program. Amy, would you like to share?
So our exciting news we would like to share is that we recently were recertified with our program through the American Diabetes Association. And we also were extending our services to our other locations, Jewel, Fort Dodge, and Stratford.
Very exciting. Congratulations to both of you. You play such an important role in this program, and I love that it is expanding out to our satellite clinics to include additional patients. Any last advice that you wish to share with our listeners today?
Well, the first step, whether it's scheduling a checkup, taking a walk, or learning more about nutrition, every step counts. So just making that call or making that first move to help manage diabetes.
And remember that you don't have to manage diabetes alone. Support and education are available.
Very good. And once again, to our listeners out there, if you have questions about the Diabetes Education Program at Van Deese Medical Center, you can call 515-832-7730. Thank you both for joining us today, sharing such valuable information.
Thanks for having us.
Come. Thank you.
You bet. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. It is National Diabetes Month. We hope you take a moment to learn more, get screened, or reach out for support. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.